Happy New Year, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 5 of Misanthrope Radio. I've been gone, I don't know if you noticed, but the time around the holidays in my professional life is really, really fucking intense, and then add to that the fucking holidays, the pressure that goes with those, and the personal life commitments, I just didn't have time to sit down and knock out an episode of Misanthrope Radio. I do apologize, but I'm back now. Let's get into this.
Misanthrope Radio.
Pissy, pissmongering, fucking pisspot of the damned.
Misanthrope Radio.
International cream corn fuckheadery.
Misanthrope Radio.
Simply a dirty Jew.
Misanthrope Radio.
And as the young man knew full well, chicken fried steak couldn't fuck back. All it could do was be delicious.
Misanthrope Radio starts now.
Asians. Fucking Asians. Why do they make everything so fucking gay? Allow me to explain. During my two-month-long forced hiatus, I found myself at a fucking hibachi restaurant. Not one of my favorite places to go, but I found myself there anyway. If you've never been to a hibachi restaurant, or you're from one of the few areas of the country that just don't have one, allow me to fucking explain. You're ushered to a table. You take your seat. You are at the table with 7 to 8 people that you don't know, all arrayed around the outside of a gigantic goddamn flat grill. The server walks up and takes your order, then gets your sushi order, if you're brave enough to order some of that shit, and then you order your main course. The main course, you only have very few options to choose from. Steak, chicken, shrimp, sometimes scallops, sometimes lobster, and any combination therein. On this particular day, I decided I wanted the steak and shrimp. Then what typically happens is you wait for a while, and some little fucking Asian dude rolls up with a steel cart with a whole bunch of shit on it and prepares your meal right in front of you. Setting fucking onions on fire and flipping noodles all over the place, throwing shrimp across the restaurant. It's meant to be dinner and a show, which in and of itself is a little gay. No little Asian chef, you're not gonna fucking flip shrimp into my mouth. I am a goddamn God-fearing straight American man. No fucking man is gonna be flipping food into my mouth. Understand what I'm saying here? It's just not gonna happen. If that makes me a homophobe, then so fucking be it. I don't care. If it makes me intolerant, so be it. I don't care. I'm comfortable enough in who I am to fucking bear that. But after they serve the salad course and the soup course, and after the fucking dude is flipping shit and throwing stuff and making idiotic jokes that you can barely understand over the fucking sizzle of the grill and his shit fucking accent, he eventually gets around to serving you your main course. Now, it's not just steak and shrimp. No, you get your steak and shrimp, you get some noodles, you get some fried rice, you get some grilled vegetables. The food is actually really good. But here's the part that I have a problem with. They have a fucking sauce that is orangish pink and it's absolutely fucking delicious. And they give you a little cup. They give you a little cup of that shit and they give you a little cup of this ginger sauce. The ginger sauce I don't have a problem with. I don't particularly love, but I use sparingly. The other sauce, however, I could fucking drink it. It's absolutely amazing. It's amazing in every way. I like to mix it into my fucking rice. I like to put it on my noodles. I like to smother everything on the fucking plate in this sauce. So naturally, one little cup is not going to be enough for me. But in order to get more of it, they always make you use its name. The name of this delicious little sauce is the fucking problem. I don't want to say the name. I don't want to have to say the ridiculous fucking name that the Asians gave one of the most delicious sauces I've ever had in my life. So I end up pointing to it and saying, "Can I get another cup of that?" And he goes, "What?" And I was like, "Another cup of that sauce right there." And he's like, "What are you talking about? Which sauce?" And I say, "That sauce right there." And he goes, "What's it called?" And I just let loose an exasperated sigh. It's called yum yum sauce. Can I get some more of the yum yum sauce? Of course! You have all the yum yum sauce you want! And then he happily pours another fucking cup full of the yum yum sauce and fucking drops it next to my plate while I am hanging my head in shame. It's not a fucking word I want to say. I don't want to fucking say yum yum sauce in order to get it. And this is my problem with the Asian people in general. Why do they have to make everything so fucking gay? They do that shit on purpose. I'm convinced that it's all fucking done on purpose, and then they go back to their little fucking Asian homes and sit around and snicker about all the fucking stupid Americans who said their dumbass goddamn names that they gave to shit all day long. Nobody honestly and sincerely names something yum yum sauce. You see what I'm saying? It has to be a fucking joke. Of course it's a fucking joke. How can it not be a fucking joke at our expense? But we're so fucking stupid that we just goddamn say it. We've just embraced the fact that the Asians use stupid fucking words. And we've accepted it, and we've not looked for the fucking joke, but it's a fucking joke at our expense. I guarantee it. There's no one sincerely naming something yum yum sauce. It's just not fucking happening. If you could somehow catch a group of Asians with their fucking guards down, and you ask for some of that fucking orange sauce, and you call it yum yum sauce, they're gonna fucking laugh at you. Of course they are. Why do they make stuff so fucking gay? And it's not just the yum yum sauce. They name shit gay stuff all the fucking time. Boba tea? Chicken fucking delight? Nothing is fucking named chicken delight. Nobody names a dish chicken delight with any degree of sincerity. It's a fucking joke that they're playing on you, and they're playing it on me. Yeah, I've got a problem with Asians. I really do, because they're not sincere. That's the thing. That's where I'm coming from. If you could convince me that they're actually naming shit yum yum sauce with a degree of sincerity without having their fucking tongues firmly implanted into their fucking cheeks, then I would probably not cringe every time I read, say, and or hear the words yum yum sauce. But as it is, at this point in Misanthrope Radio, you know me. You know that I fucking grab onto things, and I place way too much meaning into things. And I look for threads to pull, and then I pull those fucking threads, and you're never gonna convince me. You're never gonna convince me that they are not sitting around chain-smoking with their fucking legs crossed in the back somewhere with no shoes on, laughing at how many people they made say yum-yum sauce that day. I'll never be convinced. Why do Asians make shit so fucking gay? Because they want to laugh at us. That's exactly what it is. Stop playing their game. If you stop playing their fucking game, I can stop playing their game. That's the fucking thing. That motherfucker knew exactly what I was pointing at when I was pointing at that little cup of orange shit. He knew exactly what I wanted. I wanted some more of that fucking orangish pink sauce, but he made me say the word. Why? Because you say the fucking word. If you call it yum yum sauce, and your mom calls it yum yum sauce, and your girlfriend calls it yum yum sauce, and your fucking brother calls it yum yum sauce, and you do it with your chin held high and your shoulders fucking back with no degree of shame because you don't realize you're being mocked when someone like me comes along who understands I'm being mocked, and I refuse to call it fucking yum yum sauce, and I just point at it and ask for more of that orange shit, I don't have a fucking leg to stand on when he plays dumb. Do you see what I'm saying here? The fact that you fucking buy into it is the reason that I have to fucking say yum yum sauce in public. I'm a grown-ass goddamn American man. I should never have to fucking use any variant of the word yummy, okay? Yum yum sauce is as bad as yummy, except it's fucking more acceptable because Asians fucking put it out there into the world. If you're a fucking grown ass man with a beard like me, and you're sitting down at a table and you put your finger in some fucking sauce and taste it, and you look across the table at a group of men and you say that sauce is yummy, they're gonna fucking slap the shit out of you, as they should. But that same group of fucking American men with beards, and tattoos can be sitting across the fucking table from that same American man with his same American finger in that same cup of fucking sauce, and when he puts it to his mouth and tastes it and says, yum yum, they're gonna go fucking right yum yum, that shit's amazing, because you bought into it. Which, in and of itself, if you think about it, if you want to take a liberal view of this, let's take a look at this like a liberal fucking puke. You fucking standing there with honor, courage, and commitment, and your fucking chin held high asking for more yum yum sauce, in and of itself, is its own form of racism. Stay with me here. It's actually racist of you to give Asian people a pass for calling some shit yum yum sauce, because you would not accept a name for something like yum yum from any other fucking ethnic group. You let Asians get away with it because they're ridiculous, and they're known to be ridiculous, and people in their fucking cartoons are getting fucked with tentacles, and we nuked them. And they typically have bad haircuts, and they're all short, and they're carbon copies of each other. They fucking name things ridiculous shit on purpose to mock us, and we just fucking accept it because we're fucking dirty racists, and we think that anything Asians do is supposed to be gay. That's one way to look at it, I guess. Like Chicken Delight. I'm going to come back to it. Like Chicken Delight. Nobody honestly fucking names their food Chicken Delight. Nobody fucking does that. Okay? Anything that I want to eat, I'm not attaching delight to the end of. But we fucking accept it from the Asians, okay? Let's say you walk into Lorenzo's fucking steakhouse and you've been waiting hours to get into Lorenzo's steakhouse and sample his fucking absolutely amazing food, and the server comes up to you and says,
"Welcome to Lorenzo's Steakhouse. Our specials for tonight are prime rib and chicken delight."
Are you even gonna fucking consider the chicken delight? No, because you're not gonna fucking go to the trouble to ask what the fuck chicken delight is. Something with the name delight is not appetizing. It could be chicken gently sauteed in the juices of Shakira's vagina. And you're not going to fucking try it, nor even ask about it, because you're at a steakhouse owned by a fucking white man and he had the balls to name something delight. We let the fucking Asians get away with way too much shit, all right? We let them get away with way too much shit. You know, I was in a town adjacent to the one that I work in. I ran over there to get some shit and I was on my way back and I realized it was lunchtime and I saw a Chinese restaurant there in town, and I thought, okay, well, I'll just pull in and check that out. And I noticed it was a Chinese restaurant because the name was fucking stupid, and then it had those stupid fucking dragon things with the red tassels. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a bad statue of a fucking dragon standing on its hind legs, and then there were tassels. So, as if the dragon wasn't fucking bad enough, the tassels really set it off and let me know that that was probably a Chinese restaurant. So I pulled in there and I'm fucking looking up at the marquee at the name and I'm like, Ninth Happiness. Huh. Okay. So when I say to you that the name of this Chinese restaurant was Ninth Happiness, I want you to think about that a minute. The name of the Chinese restaurant was Ninth Happiness. Huh. What did your mind go to? Now, I know what my mind went to, and here we are. I'm going to point out the inherent fucking low-key racism that goes along with Asians in general, okay? Because when I saw the name Ninth Happiness, I thought, huh, well, it must be some kind of fucking esoteric Asian lore, some fucking philosophy thing. Asian philosophy, that's a thing. They're all about the philosophy, those fucking wily Asians, right? It's got to be Asian philosophy. Asian philosophy, Ninth Happiness. I wonder if they're saying that this restaurant represents the Ninth Happiness out of a list of other happinesses that Asians live their life by or aspire to or whatever. Or if it's a fucking joke that only Asians will get, like there's only 8 happinesses in Asian philosophy, but this is the 9th one. You see what I'm saying? Like, we know there's only 7 wonders of the ancient world, but then I had a restaurant called the 8th Wonder. Maybe it's something like that. So I go into the restaurant and I walk in and it's basically what you would expect your standard issue fucking Midwestern Chinese restaurant to be. Poorly maintained tables with vinyl fucking covers, very colorful fucking weird wallpaper, bad fucking prints of famous, I'm sure, Asian works on the wall, a goddamn giant fish tank, and then there's a fucking little Asian dude standing behind the counter next to the cash register. I walk up to him, I'm like, "Are you the owner of this restaurant, sir?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay, great. Can you tell me, if you don't mind, what is the ninth happiness in your culture?" And he kind of cocks his head to the side and he looks at me and he goes, "No, I think you misunderstand." And I said, "Well, please enlighten me." He goes, "It's not a philosophical thing. You Americans think that we're all about the philosophy. This is the ninth happiness." And I was like, "Yeah, I know. That's why I'm asking." And he goes, no, you don't understand. My first restaurant was happiness. And then I had second happiness and third happiness and so on to where this is the ninth fucking happiness. It's literally the fucking ninth restaurant in his chain of fucking disgusting Chinese restaurants named happiness. It's fucking racism. It's all fucking racism because you went the same way that I did. When I said ninth happiness, you were like, "Huh, I wonder if that's some kind of weird fucking Asian philosophical thing." You fucking know you did. Don't fucking lie to me. So anyway, I ordered the cashew chicken and it wasn't bad and the shrimp toast was fucking amazing. But these fucking Asians, man. And see, this is what I'm talking about. Harkening back to an earlier point, you know that motherfucker went to the back and was like, "This motherfucker out here on table 7, he thought that ninth happiness was some kind of a fucking philosophical thing. Fucking round-eyed piece of shit. Racist motherfucker." And he was absolutely right. Ninth happiness. But then while I'm on the subject of Chinese restaurants, what's the deal with their fucking bathrooms? And you know, there's been stand-up comedians do entire fucking shows about how disgusting Chinese restaurant bathrooms are. You know what I mean? But then you watch their fucking videos on TikTok. Like, you'll watch videos on TikTok or YouTube or something like that where you see some fucking attractive Asian lady making some kind of beef dish, right? And the first thing she does in the giant goddamn wok that apparently everyone has is she washes the beef. She washes it. You're like, okay. And then she'll set it out and she'll do some shit with it and fucking smack it around a little bit and stab it with stuff. And then she'll go back and she'll cut it into chunks and then she'll wash the chunks. And you're like, okay, that's a little extreme. But so that's the second wash on this beef. And then she'll season it up and let it marinate for a while, overnight, whatever. And she'll come back and then she'll wash the fucking marinade off. So that's three washes on the beef and she hasn't even goddamn cooked it yet. And then she'll take that fucking beef and she'll slice it super fucking thin, and then she'll cover it in like baking soda or some shit, and then she'll wash it again. That's four washes now on the fucking beef, and it hasn't even hit the fucking heat yet. And then she'll go ahead and throw some chilies and green onions and other assorted things into the fucking wok, and then finally stir fry the goddamn beef. So at first glance, you're like, man, she washed that fucking beef four times, man. They're really about that cleanliness over there and food safety. But then you go to a Chinese restaurant, you walk into the goddamn bathroom. You're trying to tell me that your bathrooms look like that, but you're in the back there washing shit four times before you cook it? Fuck off. It's all fucking propaganda. It's all of it. The whole fucking thing is designed to make us look fucking stupid. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it's all a fucking joke. When they get together and they have their big fucking Asian conventions, they just sit around and talk about how the fucking round eyes are so stupid because they believe that we wash everything four fucking times and we make them say yum yum sauce. Fuck. I can't believe I'm the only one that sees this. Why am I the only one that can fucking see this? It's all a fucking act. It's all a fucking act. They can all fucking speak English, probably better than you and I. But they pretend like they can't speak English, and they give stuff ridiculous names. And they fucking make you believe that you can do anything with fucking chopsticks. And they espouse to have fucking really high sanitation standards, but their fucking bathrooms have literally never been cleaned. They do all of this shit to fuck with you, man. To fuck with me.
And I'm saying this and I'm putting this out there in the ether because I'm telling you that they don't fucking fool me. They don't fucking fool me anymore. I don't know that they ever did, but they definitely don't now. But as long as you continue to fucking buy into it and have this low-key racism thing going on where you just fucking accept whatever horse shit they fucking spoon at you because you truly believe in your heart that there's some kind of fucking subspecies and you're more evolved than them or something like that, and that's why you let them get away with naming things yum-yum sauce and making you think that you can fucking literally rule the world with fucking chopsticks. A race of people in a culture that came up with Kung Fu and Toyota has the ability to give something a name more intelligent sounding than yum-yum sauce. Asian culture came up with Toyota. They were folding fucking steel to make the most amazing swords ever created 900 years ago. Okay? Look at all the things that they do with rice, for fuck's sake. These motherfuckers be making building materials out of rice. Okay? And you're telling me that they honestly and sincerely named that yum-yum sauce? No. They did it as a judgment on your fucking ignorance of their culture. It's nefarious. It's not genuine. It's disingenuous. And every time you utter the words yum-yum sauce with sincerity, with your mouth watering, with your gut fucking jiggling, with your jolly fucking fat goddamn fingers fumbling with your fucking chopsticks at the goddamn hibachi joint, all you're doing is making them right. They named it yum-yum sauce. They named it chicken delight. They named it ninth happiness. They named that tea boba as a judgment on your ignorance. Stop letting them get away with it so I don't have to fucking let them get away with it anymore. I've peeled back the layers. I've opened your fucking eyes. You have no fucking excuse now. Lorenzo has done this for you. Stop giving the fucking Asians a pass. Hold them accountable. Stop letting them make a fool of you. All right. I gotta fucking stop here. I can do this all day. On to the next segment.
Forget the wikis and the dry history lessons. This is Nerd Chronicles, Baked Lore, the deep dive podcast for people who prefer their multiverse history with a high-level perspective and a very laid-back vibe. We're unpacking the biggest stories in gaming, sci-fi, and fantasy, one puff at a time. Nerd Chronicles, Baked Lore, out now on all platforms. Hit subscribe and settle in.
Segment 2.
I spoke to somebody today who had never heard of Johnny Carson. I don't know why that fucking blew my mind. Because I know on a fundamental level, and I'm not sure I came up with this, I feel like this is something somebody else said, somebody way smarter and more insightful than me, but I might have said it. I don't know. But the phrase is this, the lesson is this. Everything is two generations away from being completely forgotten, being lost to history. I feel like that's something Dan Carlin probably said, and I loved it so much that I just fucking made it part of my everyday use. You know what I mean? I fucking packed it into my lexicon and made it my own. But it's true. Everything is fucking two generations away from being lost forever. The more I think about it, the more I think it is Dan Carlin. And he may not have come up with it either. He's such a fucking student of history. He might have grabbed it from one of the fucking historians that he references all the time. And I think I may be wrong, but I feel like it came out of his epic 5 or 6 part series on World War I. Dan Carlin, if you don't know who that is, fucking Google him. He's one of the very few podcasts that I don't miss. I had to explain to somebody today who Johnny Carson was, and it completely fucking blew my mind. And again, everything is two generations away from being lost to history. So for your young folks, your Generation Alphas and Generation Zs, why would they know who Johnny Carson was? He what, we went off the air in what, 92, 94? I think it was 92. But for someone from my generation or older, Johnny Carson was the most famous person on the planet. And I feel like I can say that confidently. Johnny Carson was the most famous person on the entire fucking planet for 30 years. So in 30 years, from 1994 to 2024, 30 years and change, I should say, the memory of Johnny Carson has already begun to fade. It blew my mind, and it was kind of fucking demotivating. To be completely honest with you, I feel like when I sit down here and do an episode of Misanthrope Radio, I am doing comedy that may or may not stand the test of time. I really try to not talk about current events. I try to not talk about the politics of the day. I try to talk about societal things or humanity things or human nature things that are going to stand the test of time. The fact that I'm not interested in politics in any way is irrelevant. But having to explain to somebody who the fuck Johnny Carson was really fucking kicked me in the nuts. It hit me. It hit me hard. What the fuck are we doing then? Why am I sitting down behind this microphone if I'm not creating something that's going to stand the test of time? But then I got to thinking about other podcasters in this industry. Who is creating content that is going to stand the test of time? Not Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's shit from 2 years ago is antiquated and unlistenable. The world has changed in just 2 years. Hell, you could even say episodes that Joe Rogan did last week are fucking antiquated and no longer relevant because the world is changing at such a rapid fucking pace. There's only a couple of podcasters whose body of work I think are going to stand the test of time. Dan Carlin being one of them. Dan Carlin, dude, I'm a fucking geek for hardcore history, and I make no fucking bones about it. You can call it a man crush, you can say I'm you can say I'm gay for Dan Carlin, I don't care. I fucking love what he does. I could never do what he does, but the way he breaks down historical events and large global conflicts and geopolitical situations in a way that's consumable to everyone who bothers to listen is timeless. His delivery's timeless, the content's timeless, everything about Dan Carlin and hardcore history is timeless. He's going to stand the test of time. For example, in that World War I series that he did, and I don't remember what it was called, an example of the way he puts things in perspective that challenges the way you see the world, it can be found in that 5 or 6 fucking part series on World War I, and it was just a quip, it was just a thing that he threw out there, and it's so fucking true, and I don't think that people view the world this way. He said that prior to the midpoint, I think, of World War I, the fastest thing on the battlefield throughout the course of human history moved at the speed of a horse. Well, then at the midway point through World War I, things started getting mechanized, and the horse was no longer the fastest thing on the battlefield. It blew my fucking mind. Dan Carlin has the ability to stand the test of time. I think Aaron Mankey may have the ability to stand the test of time just because he tells timeless ghost stories on his podcast called Lore. Other than that, I think what we do here, what podcasters do here day in, day out, is just going to evaporate into the fucking ether, and it won't even be 2 generations later that people forget about us, like they did Johnny Carson. We can be forgotten about in a matter of days. And as I find myself listening to more and more podcasts, I find myself thinking I've got to stop fucking listening to more and more podcasts. I have to fucking quit. I have to pick 2 or 3 that I really enjoy, and I have to pick 2 or 3 that are performing at a fucking level that I aspire to. I have to stop listening to shitcasts, or I'm just going to put out a shit product. You see what I'm saying? For example, I was listening to one the other day, and it was super fucking demotivating. Not demotivating on the level of having to explain who the fuck Johnny Carson was to somebody, but it was really fucking demotivating in that this person, this group of people, I should say, have a pretty good fucking following. They have people who almost tune into their fucking livecast like it's appointment radio. You know what I mean?
And I tuned in because all I see on social media is this, you know, tune into this show at this time. We're going to be doing this and we're talking to this person. And I'm like, okay, well, these people may actually have their shit together. Let me see if they're doing something that I can fucking relate to or something that's going to motivate me to take Misanthrope Radio to the next level. So I fucking clicked and listened. And here's basically what I heard. The host of the show was this fucking old guy who somebody along the way had told him he had a fucking great voice, and he really fucking leaned in on that and made it his identity. So everything he fucking said sounded like he was either moaning, coming, or puking into the fucking mic. I got to the point where I couldn't even follow the fucking conversation because I was so fucking attuned to the He even laughed like he was fucking puking. You know what I mean? He even laughed like he was in love with the sound of his own voice. It was fucking crazy. His sidekick was some fucking know-it-all female who did her best to keep him on track.
Oh my God, you're like so witty. And when you come with these quips, how do you keep a straight face when you're telling jokes like that? It's like I'm worshipful of you. Oh my God, I'm so worshipful. See what I'm saying? You did it again. You just do it all the time.
And they went on back and forth with this fucking weird banter with him throwing up into the fucking microphone and her complimenting him on his timing for the first 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes of the fucking show. And randomly in the middle, they would stop and play some kind of weird musical interlude that was AI generated and then go right back into the vomiting. And that sounded basically like this.
Was that fucking AI? No way. You fucking totally fooled me. That was an AI song? I thought you really sang it.
And they went on like this for like 25, 30 minutes. And just when I had gotten to the point where I couldn't fucking take it anymore, a third mic showed up. This fucking guy, obviously not quite right. But he just came on, they introduced him, and he just started spitting fucking facts.
Hey,
sorry I'm late. Did you know that the capybara doesn't actually swim? He just runs across the bottom of the pond or a river or whatever body of water that he's run across, and he can run across it at almost 14 kilometers per hour. Yeah, that's such a fucking fun factoid. The show just isn't the same when you're not here. Something else I learned the other day is that the wildebeest vagina has medicinal properties that people in Africa have been using for millennia. And Bayer, the maker of aspirin, has recently started putting wildebeest vagina in the coating of their fucking aspirins. So we can all expect to no longer get cancer.
What
I don't know what medicinal properties it has. I just know that there are medicinal properties and they've been using it as a wellness aid for millennia now. Oh my God, you're like so smart. If you didn't look like a fucking egg, I would totally have you right now. I can come up with factoids all day, but I'm just so excited to be part of this show. Thank you so much for having me and making me part of your show. Yeah, like fucking totally thank you for making me part of your show, bro.
And then we transitioned from the dude on the spectrum spitting facts back into the fucking dopey hole praising the fucking host. And then the host, who I can't say it enough, really loves the sound of his own voice, talks for a little bit longer about things that they have coming up and events in the area. And then they played another AI-generated song. I could only take about 30 minutes of this fucking show before I had to fucking tap out. I couldn't do it anymore. The sound quality was bad, the production quality was bad, the fucking content was bad, the host was bad, the co-host was even worse, and the dude on the spectrum made me want to claw my fucking eardrums out. I hear shit like that, and then I hear about their fucking downloads and the success of the show, and I'm like, what the fuck am I even doing here? Seriously, what the fuck am I doing? Is my fucking vision for Misanthrope Radio just completely fucking off kilter? And I need to go and do a bubblegum fucking horse shit show? I need to fucking follow the recipe of success. I guess I need to fucking really fall in love with my voice. And I need to find some fucking dopey hole to sit there and worship everything I say. And then I need to find some fucking kid who's obviously on the spectrum to fucking spit facts at, and then we all just need to get together and jerk each other off and tell each other how great we are. Recipe for fucking podcast success, apparently. Anyway, I could go on all day. I'm very happy to be back. This is my first episode in quite a while, and I hope you've enjoyed Season 2, Episode 5 of Misanthrope Radio. All right, until next time.